This is a Discovery Channel podcast.
In Alaska, there's often no suitable place for pilots to land, so bush pilots have fitted their planes with floats and learned to land on water. The development Alaska has depended on the bravery of bush pilots.
Flying over this rugged terrain has always required great skill and ingenuity. In the mountains, these pilots have to cope with unpredictable air currents and be prepared to land anywhere. One of the most skillful of the bush pilots is Paul Klaus.
A big percentage of places I land up high in the mountains it's one way, and you're gonna land that way, and you're gonna take off the other way. There's no other choice. It's too steep.
As well as transporting essential supplies, bush planes provide access to Alaska's hidden interior. Paul Klaus's Piper Super Cub is perfectly suited to this kind of flying. To save weight, there's no electrical system, so he has to start the engine by hand. These huge balloon tires absorb shocks that would destroy a conventional plane's undercarriage. One of Klaus's skills is judging where a safe landing can be made. Landing on glaciers requires years of experience.
I've learned little tricks that different colors of ice that tend to be smoother. It seems like stuff that's got more dirt on it tends to melt out more evenly than just a pair of white ice.
Paul Klaus has been flying since he was 13 years old.
I don't really get rich, but we have a very rewarding life. Each day flying around, I never get bored, never get tired of it.
Because roads are few and far between, there are more private pilots in Alaska than in any other state. But weather conditions are extreme, so even the most experienced pilots can get into trouble. In winter, temperatures in Alaska's barren interior plummet to minus 60 degrees.
It's a very unforgiving environment because there's so few roads up here. Most people get around by airplane or snow machine, and so you get a lot of people that do get in trouble.
Anyone who gets in trouble out here won't last long. Colonel Parkhouse heads the 210th Rescue Squadron of the Alaskan Air National Guard, one of the busiest in the country.
We call it a target-rich environment. We have lots of opportunity to practice our trade up here. We've gone as far as 12 and a half hours in the helicopter nonstop. We've been within 300 miles of the North Pole. We've done one rescue in Russia, so we have covered quite a large area.
This Pavehawk helicopter has a crew of three, including part-time reserve pilot Erica Sorum, who's already clocked up an impressive number of rescues.
Our unit is unique in the fact that we are actually able to do what we're trained to do, and we do it on a regular basis.
Erica Sorum joined the Air National Guard a couple of years ago, but is still learning the skills required of a rescue pilot.
I'm out here approximately 6 to 7 times a month and fly on my days off during the middle of the week. I just feel fortunate because a lot of my counterparts that I went to flight school with don't have this opportunity. It's very challenging, but it's very exciting.
The 210th Rescue Squadron is called out almost every day. Today is no exception.
Command 69 Camper, RCC needs you to divert to Malamute drop zone. They have a streamer.
A streamer is a parachute that fails to open properly. An Army paratrooper has been badly injured after plummeting to the ground 550 miles from Anchorage. Because the Pavehawk will take 4 hours to reach the injured soldier, the rescuers rely on assistance from a Hercules aircraft. Always the main challenge is getting help to a survivor as quickly as possible. Even a fairly minor injury can prove fatal when a person is stranded at minus 60 degrees for too long. The much faster Hercules is able to quickly locate the survivor on the ground. The parajumpers have stabilized the injured man and guide him safely into the helicopter. His body has to be completely protected. The temperature under the rotor blades can reach minus 100 degrees. With the casualty safely on board, they begin the long flight back to Anchorage. They will have to refuel once more on the way back. For Erica Sorum, flying in these extreme conditions is worth the risk.
That's just a sense of accomplishment, knowing that you're training for something that really matters and you're actually able to apply it on a real-life basis.
This was one of over 300 daring rescues the Alaska Air National Guard performs each year.